Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Taylor Patterson, Midwest Muscle People, Be Real Talk in the Midwest house with a Midwest guest, with a Midwest promoter. And this program is sponsored by P4P Midwest Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation outside of the Midwest and in the Midwest, along with the world. And if you're a drug-free athlete from the Midwest or other parts of the region, and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like Dez is about to drive a nail through my forehead, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. Hey, Dez, how you doing?
I'd be much better with a hammer and nail. But other than that, I am fantastic. Fan Midwest-tastic. So there we have it.
I'm a dead man, Josh. A dead man.
It's a good thing, Josh, he lives in a different part of the Midwest than I do at this moment. But, you know, tomorrow will be a different day.
I love her
tomorrow
so
will be
much.
A different day. Yeah, we do. We have that. We have that PIC love going on here, Partners in Crime. Team Awesome, P for P Real Talk, Kaylin, Desiree, that's us. Woo! So anyway, you know what? Last Thursday, great show, a little bit out of the norm for us, but we had, I think, one of our first legit social media I'm not going to say icon, but celebrities. Yes, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Yeah, our first social media celebrity, another motivational speaker, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce her last name, but the first name is Carol Ann. She goes by C-A, and the last name starts with an M. Kaylin, I challenge you to pronounce it.
Oh, no. I can't even pronounce her last name.
So we are both out of luck, but check the archives for last Thursday's date, which was today is what, the 19th? I hope so. So
we'll go
the 14th? No, the 13th. The 13th, April 13th. Look for CA. I think we have her on there as a self-proclaimed hot mess mama. Great show. Already one of our highest ranking shows, that she has an awesome following. So check it out. Very motivational, great story, great gal. And by Thursday, I will have figured out what that last name is, and I will have the phonetic spelling to help me through. So we are.
I'm saying nothing.
Are,
I'm too much at risk.
Yep. We are in the mix of the competition season. The spring is starting off with a bang, a lot of great shows. I'm seeing a lot of update posts out there on Facebook, loving it. And tonight's guest is no different. We have Josh Miller on the show with us. We've had him on here before, promoter in Kentucky. So here's the deal. You know, Kaylin and I were debating, where does Kentucky fall? To me, it's more of a southern state. Kaylin contends it's a Midwest state. Josh is playing Switzerland and saying it could go either way. It just all depends on the sport and how you want to look at it. So we've got all three opinions going strong here. You know what? I'll let you guys weigh in on that individually. It doesn't really matter. That's just the impetus that our show has been started off with today.
There we go.
Midwest. There we have it. So anyway, Josh just had his
Bubba,
show.
We got a Bubba. Are you serious?
A Bubba?
Bubba says it's south.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Bubba says it's south. There you go, Bubba. That's my man. Don't you be making.
Oh, now you
want to
hear Bubba.
Kaylin.
I want to hear Bubba. We have a Bubba. Are you serious? We have a Bubba.
We have
wow.
a Bubba, and we're going to show him some Bubba love, okay? All right. And. I tell you what, folks, I am a week and a half out from my first competition, and I cannot be held responsible for anything that's going
to
come out of my mouth during that time frame. So I'm just going to put it out there. Yeah, I'm not going to kill Kaylin. I'm not ready to go to jail. I got too aggressive of a competition schedule this year to be tied up in court for manslaughter.
Oh,
so,
that's the only reason.
That's it. No, I kind of like you, though, too. I would really miss you and the podcast if you're dead.
Oh.
You know, so I
okay,
Bethel
like said south.
Who says south?
Chauncey or Chauncey?
All right.
Chauncey,
there we go. So I'm sorry, Josh. We're totally off track now, and we have you on this show for a reason. Not just to debate where
Pray
Kentucky
for me, Josh.
Is.
Pray for me.
We're just not debating that. So I'm going to try this again. I'm really going to try this again. So right now. We have.
That means I got to
make
my time.
This
shut
is going
up.
So badly this afternoon, this evening, folks. All right. Right now we have Josh Miller.
Sometime today.
On the show. Sometime
yes.
today, you are going to hear from him about his show that he just had this past weekend, 2017 Kentucky Natural Classic. Josh, please introduce yourself to Listener Land. Tell him a little bit about yourself. And then let's get into this show, man. Let's do what we're here to do.
Yeah, okay. Like Desiree said, my name is Josh Miller, promoter of the NGA Kentucky Natural Classic. And now I'm going to kind of touch on this debate a little bit. I think it kind of depends on as far as Kentucky being a Midwest state or a Southern state. I think it kind of depends on what sport you're talking about. Like I kind of mentioned earlier, in bodybuilding terms, I think it's considered more of a Midwest. And in other sports, you know, you take basketball, football, that kind of thing. We are in the SEC, so I think people consider us more of a Southern state. But bodybuilding terms, we seem to associate a lot with the Midwestern states. So, I think it just kind of depends on, what sport we're talking about.
That's a safe bet.
Yeah.
That's the best answer I could give. Chauncey and Bubba, they're with me. But I can roll with that. I can accept that explanation, too. So for the purposes of tonight's show, we will say it's part of the Midwest. But, outside of bodybuilding, we're going to stick with the South. All right. There we got it.
Okay.
Okay
that'll work. Continue on, my man.
All right. Continue on.
Okay. Yeah. we had a great show. Great time, great competitors, and the competitors we're getting in our shows are really the high quality competitors. These are competitors that nobody's going to come in here and just walk away with a win. They're going to have to earn it, and that's what we're seeing more and more with our shows. And this past weekend was no exception at all. We was able to give out, seven pro cards is what we was able to give out this show.
Nice.
We are a super pro qualifying event, and so with the NGA that puts us in a tier four, because we have a pro show with it, and of course with we offer pro categories. I offer both open and masters pro classes.
Oh wow!
Shows. Yeah, so just trying to do everything we can to. Open up, have categories for each competitor. And I feel like Kentucky is one of those states where, we're kind of in that zone where people from
Midwest
and the South, we're within driving distance. Okay. So, we're kind of in the mix there. And, we're not far from, Chicago. We're not far from, Ohio, of course. We're not too far. I think we're about a 6-hour drive from Chicago. So we've got quite a few people that come from that area, come down here to compete. And, we have people from, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina. So, Kentucky's kind of the meeting ground for, the Southern and the Midwest. So, there you go.
Okay, Billy and Sarah tell Kaylin and Dev to stop it.
What?
Okay, we'll stop. We'll behave now, we promise. Pinky swear.
So, But I do think you know, Kentucky is pulling from, you know, Midwest and from the South. So we do have a lot of competitors that come in from all the surrounding states, which I'm real happy to see. And I think one of the things that draw them in is, you know, we do offer, you know, pro categories in, you know, like I said, in open classes and master's classes. So really trying to get those classes established and get them to continue to grow. And they have been. So, you know, we're seeing really good success with that. But yeah, you know, it was each show seems like it gets better and better. And I'm as a promoter, I love to promote these shows. I love to meet and greet the competitors and get to know them and really let them know that, you know, we are here for them and we want to provide the best show and give them the best experience that we possibly can. Really, and that's what I really try to bring out in my shows. I really try to make that point with them, and you know that we care for them, and you know we're going to be here for them. Whatever they need, they're going to let us know. We're going to take care of it for them. And you know that's one of the things I always go over. You know, make a point to talk to them, make a point to compliment them, make a point to see how they're doing. If they need anything, provide the best facilities that we can for them, have the best staff as far as volunteer staff available for them, people that's really going to go out of their way for the competitors. And, you know, always have a volunteer meeting with all of our volunteers before the show. And I really make that point with them. I'm like, you know, these are competitors that are coming in. We do have a lot of first-time competitors in our shows. And, you know, I'm sure you guys are both competitors, and you know what it was like the first time you competed. And you don't know what to expect. And a lot of them are scared. They don't know what to expect. They're very nervous. And so, I bring that out with the volunteers. I'm like, you know, you got to look at it from their standpoint. What would you want if you was a first-time competitor? What would make you feel comfortable? What would give you a good experience at this show? And so I'm telling them, you know, every chance you get, compliment them. And if they need something, please go get it for them. If they need, you know, just somebody kind of, you know, lift their chin up and pat them on the back, whatever, you be that for them. And look for ways to offer yourself to the competitors. And so that's what our staff does. That's what our volunteers do. And, you know, we're able to bring the same volunteer staff back, you know, show after show, into where they kind of understand their role as a volunteer. And you know, it just works together, you know. But that's really, as a promoter, that's really what I'm trying to do is to let the competitor know that, you know, they're not just a number. You know, they're a person, and we're taking a lot of value in them. And we want to see them, like I said, you know, have an amazing experience with this show. So, like I said, the show's continued to grow. I'm really happy, really pleased with them. I was really happy and really pleased again this past weekend. Really, really liked it a lot. So everything went great.
And it looks, I was going to say, you have been doing this for a little bit. I was thinking, though, you know, is it about 4 years now, or has it been longer than that you've been hosting
own
show?
I promoted my first show in 2013. Here's how it's happened. 2013, I had my first show. In 2014, of course, I had another one. 2015, I added two shows. So I had two shows that year. 2016, I added a third show. So there's actually three shows that I promote. So I've been promoting since 2013, but, you know, I've got a lot more shows in, and not, you know, not just one show a year. So I've got, you know, seven or eight shows that I've promoted so far, you know, in that amount of time.
All right, well, we'll have to get an education on that. But before we go down that road, because I do want to hear about the different opportunities that you offer, we've got Becky and Brenda, and they both want to know what a super pro qualifier is. And if they're wondering, I bet you there are several other listeners that aren't quite sure what that means.
Yeah, super pro qualifier means, okay, we can offer –
a pro card to each class. So, for example, when you take, for example, bodybuilding. There's a lightweight, there's a middleweight, there's a light heavyweight, and there's a heavyweight class. And there's the potential to give out 4 pro cards if there are 5 people in that class. So if there's 5 people in light, at least 5 people in lightweight, and the winner of the lightweight class would win their pro card. If there's at least 5 people in the middleweight, the winner of the middleweight would get their pro card. Same thing with the lightweight, light heavyweight, and the heavyweight. And so you don't have to win the overall to get a pro card. You can just win your class. Same thing in bikini. You got bikini A. If there's at least 5 people in that class, then you can get your pro card. So there's a potential to give out. You know, typically I have 2 bikini classes, a class A and a class B, short class and tall class. And if there's 5 people in each, then we'll give out 2 pro cards. Same thing with women's figure, same thing in men's physique. So you don't have to necessarily win the overall to get your pro card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, you can just win your class if there's 5 people in there and get it. And that goes for the Open and the Masters.
Nice. So Becky and Brenda, on the flip side of that, Josh already touched on this. I'm just not sure how familiar you are, but in several shows, I guess I should say organizations that are not a super pro qualifier, what generally happens is you still have your different classes, a lot of times it's split up by height or weight, and then the first place winner from each class goes on to compete against each other, and then the winner of the in the overall is who earns the pro card. So
exactly.
Sometimes
uh-huh.
there's another step in there. As a super pro qualifier, that extra step is removed. So thanks, Josh, for that. Just real quick, Billy, how are you doing out there? You know, I'm not really sure if I am. I don't have any Southern shows on my competition schedule this year, but that doesn't mean that that couldn't be changed. In fact, when Josh tells us about his other shows that he's got coming up, I could be persuaded to change my mind. Who knows? But you know,
Hello?
if I'm traveling south or further in the Midwest, depending on where I'm going, I have to take
right.
Caleb with me. So just know that this is a package deal, Mr. Patterson, and that, you know, if you get one of us, then, you know, you might get both of us competing. So there's the answer to that.
You get us both.
So I'm not really sure. Right now my schedule has me going to, you know, near Kansas City, Chicago, a place or two in Minnesota. That's so I'm pretty much Midwest at this point. Maybe the D.C. area in the fall, but that's a big maybe. But, you know, there's a show out there that I'm kind of looking at, but it conflicts with another show that I'm also interested in. So it's hard to say. I'm kind of taking it by ear, playing it by ear. Really, these first 2 shows that I have coming up are going to kind of dictate what the rest of my season looks like. So we'll just see what happens. Okay, so real quick, Josh, before we get into more description of your other shows, don't let me forget, because we definitely want to touch base on that. Linda wants to know the criteria for figure and bikini. So you're an NGA show, or at least I don't know if all your shows are NGA, but the Kentucky Natural Classic is. And then she also wants to know, does the requirement for the Kentucky Natural Classic differ from the Heart of America in Peoria, if you know?
Okay, the criteria for the figure and bikini?
Yes.
Is that the first question?
That's the first
question. So be a little more specific. What is exactly that you're wanting to differentiate between those two?
I think, well, Heart of America, that's an NGA show also. Am I right on that one,
uh-huh.
Kaylin? Anybody?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So then I guess the short answer to Linda's question is no, there shouldn't be a difference because they're both NGA, so the criteria should match since it's both part of the same organization. So then maybe you could just give us the highlights of the criteria for both of those categories and then where she can go to read through all of the details for the criteria to compete in those categories.
Okay, yeah. If you the NGA, they got you know, you can go on their website, nationalgym.com, and you can read through their bylaws. They got their bylaws online, and basically it's going to tell you everything step by step what, you know, their criteria is before, you know, for each class. I'll just kind of run through it real quick here. As far as the bikini classes, what you're going to be doing is, you know, bikini classes are half turns. And you also, of course, you know, you'll walk, you'll have a part where you'll walk to the back of the stage, walk to the front of the stage. And typically what they're looking for in bikini, they're not looking for somebody that's over muscular or too lean in that category. Kind of, you know, a body that, you know, somebody who's in shape and fit, but not too much to the point where you got too much muscle showing. That would fall more into figure. The figure, of course, they're looking for more muscle, more definition, more conditioning in that category. And what you're going to be doing in figure classes, you're going to be moving, you're going to be turning in quarter turns. So unlike bikini where you do half turns, you're moving in quarter turns with figure. And, you know, I also, you know, there's a lot of people that I work with. I have a lot of clients that do compete in bikini and figure. And, you know, the posing style is a little bit different between the two. I think bikini, you probably can help me out on this one, Desiree, is that you got to have a little bit more of, I guess, more of a sassy attitude. You got to kind of show that on stage more so than figure. And sometimes that will help me dictate, you know, what class a girl should compete in. Some girls naturally have good stage presence like that, and if they feel very comfortable on stage and can carry that whenever they're on stage, then sometimes I'll recommend that they, you know, compete as bikini, especially if they're not, you know, too muscular or too defined. Whereas you take a girl who's, you know, really not got that kind of stage presence like you need in bikini, they're more reserved, sometimes figure, they're more comfortable in figure anyway. But also, you know, along with that goes, you know, what kind of body do they have? Are they more of a muscular body? Do they have more definition, more lean, just more conditioned athlete? Will fall better in figure. But I think, you know, stage presence does have a lot to do with it. You know, how you carry yourself on stage, and you know, it, of course, it's going to any category. I think we especially see that in the bikini class.
Yep, I think, and I totally agree with what Josh is saying there. I mean, if you have a very outgoing personality, and it's not that you can't be outgoing in figure, but figure is definitely a more defined posing requirement, whereas, you know, with bikini, you're allowed to bring more of your personality into it. It's more of a, like you said, sassy, you know, fun, you know, showing off more of the physique in a casual manner. I mean, you still have your turns, and you know, your posing still has to be to a point where it shows off your physique in the best way possible. But when you get to figure, I mean, there are very, you know, particular poses that you need to hit, and so you're not allowed to bring in your personality to that pose the way you are in bikini. So you're definitely able to have, you know, more shoulder shrugs, throw your hips a little bit more, you know, flirt with the audience, if you will. Whereas in figure, you don't have that same amount of leeway. So definitely a couple different personality types. But I will also say, if, you know, you're really interested in the sport and you want to go ahead and jump in, you know, bikini is a great place to start. Even if you don't feel like you've got that personality, but you're into the training, you're into, you know, the nutrition, the whole competition environment, you're all about that. It's a great place to start and get your feet wet while you grow up into figure. And I've seen a lot of bikini girls that, you know, step on stage in bikini because they're just learning the sport. they fall in love with it, and they decide that they want more of it, and so they continue to build the physique and progress on up through the ranks. So it's a great stepping stone on that way, too. So just a couple of thoughts there. You know, and I, you know, I'm loving all these questions that are coming in, and I think we actually have a lot of first-time listeners on the show. So great stuff, guys. Keep your questions coming in. To kind of tag on to what Linda was asking about requirements on the figure and bikini side of things, Josh, Juan wants to know the requirements to compete at your show, I guess, in general. So maybe just give us just a rundown and a brief description of just the different categories that you have and the difference, and then why don't we go ahead and get your website so if they want to check it out and see more background in general. You already gave the NGA overall website, but give them your website address so they can go ahead and see more examples of what it is that you're talking about.
Yeah, my website is KentuckyNaturalBodybuilding.com, and it's all spelled out, so KentuckyNaturalBodybuilding.com, and you can go to that website, and I always have different shows that are coming up. I haven't got it updated yet from this past weekend. I'm going to be in the process of getting that finished here within the next day or two, and I'll have all the class winners and pictures and different things like that up there. But the different classes that we have, there's a lot of classes. I think we have, you know, around 23, 24 classes, somewhere in there. But we do have the, like I said, the amateur and the novice, the amateur classes, and we also got the pro classes, the pro division. As far as the amateur goes, we got your bodybuilding, and with bodybuilding open, we also have bodybuilding novice. We also have junior bodybuilding, 24 years old and under. We also have master's bodybuilding, which is 40 and over. In men's physique, we have, of course, the open. Now, what the NGA does with the men's physique, it's a little bit different than a lot of other organizations, is they do a lot of your men's physique is by height classes. What NGA does is by weight classes. So you do have a lightweight, a middleweight, and a heavyweight class. I'm not real sure what the exact cutoffs are for each class right offhand. I do know, I think, that the heavyweight starts at 172 and a quarter and above. But I'm not real sure beyond that. I'd have to look that up real quick. But we do have open for men's physique. We also have a junior men's physique, which is 24 and under. And we also have a master's men's physique, and that's for age 35 and over. We also have classic physique, which is a new category that was offered last year. And we just have one class. It's a new class that we have just started this past year. And so we're kind of getting the popularity in that class is really growing fast. So we was able to give a pro card out in our show this past weekend in classic physique. So, you know, you have to have at least five people in a class to give a pro card out, and we did this time. We also offered that class back in October, and we had four people, so we wasn't hardly able to have enough to give a pro card. But that's another class that we do offer, and like I said, it's a class that's growing real fast in popularity. We also have women's bikini, of course, and we got so far we got two classes. If that category continues to grow, we may offer a third class, A, B, and a C class with that. So that class is really one of our more popular divisions. With that, we also have junior bikini, 24 and under, and we also have master's bikini, which is 35 and over. And we also have a novice bikini class, and that's for competitors who have never placed in the top two in any class before. So we got quite a few different classes with that. We also have, did I mention figure yet? We also have, of course, women's figure. Women's figure, we got the open classes, and typically we have two classes with that. A tall class and a short class. We also have a master's class with women's figure. Let's see if there's anything else I'm leaving out here. I think that pretty much covers everything that we have.
Yes.
We have, of course, the pro classes. We've got pro bodybuilding open, and we also have pro bodybuilding masters. Masters start at 40 and above. We also have pretty much, you know, everything I mentioned here, we do offer in a pro class, too. We've got men's physique pro classes. We got women's bikini pro class. And with this, I do also offer master's class as well. Master's pro for bikini starts at 35. Master's pro for men's physique starts at age 35. So, like I said, you know, we got pretty much everything I just named over here as far as bodybuilding, bikini, figure, physique, classic physique, even women's physique. We also offer a pro category and a master's pro category in those classes.
All right. Before we go any further, I want to point out something Dad had said very early in the show, and that is, if you have a question, please ask it, because I guarantee that for every person that asks a question, there's 50 or more that want to answer questions but are either nervous about doing it or afraid that we won't ask it on the show, and we will. And if not, we'll get on the update, even if it's an update after the update after the update. We'll still get to the question, if not on this show, on one of the Midwest Muscle videos. So please do not be afraid to ask the question, because I guarantee someone just like you that's in the same mindset that you are, just happen not to be in the same body with the same mouth or fingers, is wanting to ask that question. So please, please ask the question. We do not mind answering it. And we definitely love the listeners that really have those challenging questions. So don't be afraid to ask those either. There's no question too tough if you're talking to a promoter, because believe me, they have to drag themselves for months preparing for stuff. So believe me, it's dredged in their heads. I mean, they probably like to forget most of what we're trying to remember. So, you know, don't be afraid of that. And I'm sure with Josh and his personality, he's very challenged to get those questions to make the show better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Anything anybody wants to ask, I mean, I'm all ears. I would be more than happy to answer anything. So, like Kaylin said, you know, as a promoter, this is what we deal with, and, you know, we love what we do. So I absolutely love promoting. I love dealing with the sport. And these are questions
takes
that
a tough mind.
I get asked quite
takes
a bit.
Takes a tough mind. You poor fellow.
Right.
So real quick question here, getting back to criteria. Keenan wants to know the difference between height and weight when competing at a natural show.
Yeah, typically, the weight classes in a natural show are lighter than what they are in a non-tested show.
No doubt.
Right, for obvious
it's
reasons,
an actual
right?
healthy human form.
Right, exactly, exactly. I can tell you, you know, from, like I said, I can't quote all of the weight classes out for, like, non-tested shows versus tested shows. I know in my weight class, I typically, you know, as a bodybuilder, I typically compete as a middleweight. And in natural shows, the cutoff is 172 and a quarter with the NGA anyway. And that's what I find with most natural organizations.
Yeah, pretty much across the board.
Yeah, and in the NPC, I think it's 176 and a quarter is the cutoff for middleweight. And you know, another thing that you see too with, I know with the NPC, you know, they've also added a few more categories. I think they got a bantamweight, then a lightweight, and then a welterweight, and then a middleweight, and then a light heavyweight and a heavyweight. And they also, some of them were a big show. We even have a super heavyweight class.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a lot more different classes and a lot more different, in which, you know, it kind of helps them out, kind of gives competitors a more of an option as far as, you know, what class they fall in.
Well, it brings more natural,
natural.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And so with most of your natural shows, you're going to have four different classes, and you're going to have a lightweight, a middleweight, light heavyweight, and a heavyweight. And with, like I said, a natural soil, you got typically, and with a non-natural soil, you're going to have, you know, six or seven classes, depending on how big that the show is. And, of course, their weight limits are going to be heavier, are going to be a lot heavier than what a natural show would be. The thing, I'll tell you another weight class that I'm thinking of right off for us. A heavyweight is 189 and a quarter and over, and I think in the NPC, I think it might be 199 maybe. So there's like a 10-pound difference between the heavyweight classes there. So typically, it's anywhere from a 6 to 10-pound difference between classes. But at the same time, they try to throw a few more classes in there, like what Caleb was saying, to kind of try to keep the naturals in there too.
And I would just tag on from a height perspective, and this is just from the ladies' side of it, usually in bikini and figure and physique, I think women's physique, I could be wrong. I'm not as versed in that category. I need to brush up on that. But it's usually, 5'5 and under might be your short class, and then between 5'6 to 5'7-ish maybe your medium class, and then 5'8 or and up maybe your tall class. But it really all depends on the number of girls you have in a given category and kind of where their heights fall seems to be how they slice and dice, whether they'll have a short, medium, tall. If you have a really big show, sometimes they have short, medium, tall, and tall, just to kind of keep all the gals on an even playing field. So that's kind of how it works with height as well. Two cents there. Kind of a serious question. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just going to say some different organizations will split bodybuilding into height classes as well. I remember I did one show years ago where, I was in a different, I was in a tall class, and which kind of bothered me a little bit because I was competing against guys that were 30 pounds heavier than me, and which was different. Some organizations will do that. They'll split you in height classes, which I'm more used to competing in a weight class. But different organizations require different different classes. How they're going to split them. If it's weight or height.
Yep. So it can differ by show, long story short. So always, check the criteria. And as Josh has shared, you can go to the NGA site and they will have their bylaws and all the criteria for all of the categories, and they'll outline for you how they're gonna handle that. And so you'll be able to know ahead of time. All right. Good stuff. I have a serious question that I want to transition to, and it's a very good question. I would agree. Sarah wants to know if judges are worried about competitors coming into shows too lean, and what is too lean? How lean is considered to be unhealthy? And will the competitor be allowed to compete, and is there something in place to get that person help before they leave the venue?
It's a very good question. Yeah, kind of a serious question. I think as far as being too lean, you got to be lean for competition, and what you're looking for, if you're able to, I've seen people come in where they're too flat. Typically, a lot of times if they're coming in, too lean, they're going to sacrifice a lot of muscle and a lot of size for that. As far as it being getting to the unhealthy part of it, in order to hold on to the size of muscle that you need, you can't be too lean for a prolonged amount of time. And what I tell people all the time is you're looking good. You want to get in that peak condition for one day. And I remember as a personal trainer, I had this girl come into my training studio one time, and she wanted to train, and she was a young girl. She was still in high school. And so I sat down with her and I talked to her, and she said, I got some pictures of what I would like to look like. I said, okay, well, show them to me. And so she pulls her phone out and pulls up her Instagram account, and she shows me these pictures of these IFBB pro bikini competitors. And I just start laughing. And she's like, why are you laughing? I said, okay, well, what you got to realize is these are IFBB pro-level bikini competitors. They've been training for years, and they've been training, you know, they did their cut for months ahead of time to look good for that one particular day, okay? And I told her, I said, these girls don't walk around looking like this every day. They look that good for about 9 hours, and that's it, because the next day they're going to go out and they're not going to look the same. And a week later, they're not going to look the same at all. Mm-hmm. And so many people will have the misconception, and that's where I try to educate people when they're competing. You know, you got to be okay with gaining weight after a show. And sometimes working with female competitors, once they get down so lean, once they get their body fat down, they think they want to stay at that level. They don't want to gain any of their weight back because it's drilled in girls from just society and our culture that, you know, you got to be so lean, you got to be so skinny. And once they get there, they don't want to gain anything back. But, I'm always encouraging them. I'm always, you know, if you compete, and if that's the reason you're competing, then you're competing for the wrong reason. You know, you got to be comfortable how you look in the off season, as comfortable as you look in season. And so I'm really trying to bring that out, because if they're the type of person who is so fixated on what the scale says or how lean or how what their body fat is all the time, then it's probably not going to be a good sport for them. And I would do nothing to try to steer girls in the wrong direction as far as their eating and their health conscious at all. And, you know, there's been times I've asked people, I'm like, why are you in here? Why do you want to compete? You know, if people come to me, that's one of the first things I'll ask them is, why do you want to do this? Because I want to know, what's your motive? You know, and I've had girls tell me, you know, I've had girls come in, you know, who have had low self-esteem and who have not felt good about themselves for whatever reason. And I had this one girl in particular, she told me, she said, well, she said, I think it would give me more confidence if I was competing. I said, no. I said, if you ain't got confidence now, it's going to shatter your confidence. If you're on stage and you're asking the judges to compare you to all these other girls who look great on stage too, unless you win, that's your only option, then you're going to beat yourself up thinking you're not good enough. So I want to find out, why do you want to compete? You know, if it's something that you've always wanted to do and you want to do it for the right reasons and for the challenge of it, for the discipline of it, by all means, go for it. But not to try to give yourself more confidence. You know, confidence does come from the sport if you're doing it in a healthy manner. But, you know, if you're doing it in order to try to find confidence, or if you're trying to do it in order to improve your self-esteem or that kind of thing, it could go the wrong direction with them. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm always telling them, you know, it's when I train, and when you train for a show, you know, you're training for that one day. You got that one day in mind, you know, months out, 3 months out, you know, 15 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever your prep period is. You get that one day circled on the calendar, and that's when you want to look your very best, and that's all you think about. And when you get to that day, that's when you want to be at your peak. And that's when, what people don't realize, that's when they're getting their picture taken on stage, and that's what they're posting on Instagram, is what they look like on stage. And what a lot of people don't know, too, maybe a day before or a couple of days prior to that show, they've done a bunch of photo shoots. Or yeah, maybe a day or two after the show, they've done a bunch of photo shoots. So people think that they walk around looking like this all the time, when actually it's just getting ready for that one show. And the healthy thing is, you know, you can't stay at 3% body fat, or you can't stay, you know, for women, you know, you can't stay at 10% body fat for a prolonged amount of time. And so I always try to encourage them to make sure that You gain weight back in a healthy manner. You do it in the right way. Don't expect to walk around like that all the time. So, you know, these particular girls I'm telling you about, you know, it's something that's, you know, pretty common with, you know, working with female competitors is, you know, making sure they're doing it for the right reason. Make sure they got realistic expectations from it. Make sure that they're not believing everything they see on social media. You know as well as I do, you know, a lot of these pictures you see on social media, what you're even working with competitors, I see this all the time, and I'm sure you guys do too. When somebody's in prep training for a show, they're posting all these pictures in their prep, and I've seen it happen so many times where they'll take the perfect picture. It might take them, you know, 15. They might take 15 pictures and get one good one, and that's the one they're going to post on Facebook. That's the one they're going to post on Instagram, and you know, it's the perfect lighting, it's the perfect angle. And, you know, they may even filter the picture a little bit, too. And that's what they're going to post. And then everybody sees that. And, they, like I said, they don't realize that they're in prep. They don't realize that, you know, they're in, you know, the best shape of their life right now whenever they're posting that. They're not going to look like that, you know, a month from now. You just got to be careful with how people can deceive other people, and with these social media pictures and everything, and you know, especially with female competitors. I'll give you another example. I had a show coming up, and I had this one woman had found out that this other lady was competing in the show, and she'd seen this picture on Facebook about this girl, and she decided she was going to drop out because she said, "I can't compete with that." And I said, "Okay, hold on. I said, that's probably not what you think it is. I said, it's a picture that's probably been filtered, and it's probably, you know, she probably took 15 pictures to get that one good picture." And So I sat down and had a long talk with her. I talked her into continuing to compete, and the girl that almost dropped out because she's seen this good picture of another lady that she would be competing against, I talked her into following through with the show and competing, and that girl that almost dropped out ended up winning. So I told her after that, I said, "Look, I said, if you would have talked yourself out of it, you'd have missed this great opportunity to have this win." And, you know, you see stuff like that all the time. And So, you know, kind of getting back to, you know, what are the judges looking for? You know, what's too lean and everything? You know, the most competitors are going to be rewarded for being extremely lean. That's what they're looking for, is that lean, dry look. I've never really had any, a judge ever tell me or ever heard of them telling anybody that you're too lean or you're too conditioned. It's a good thing. The bad thing is if you try to stay at that over a prolonged amount of time. There's a difference. You know, no competitor's going to get on stage if they're looking like anorexic or anything like that. Your muscles going to, you know, you're not going to have any muscle if you're in an unhealthy state like that to get on stage.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, to get that lean, 3-4% body fat for men. For a female, typically anywhere from, 10-13% body fat. Most bikini competitors, I try to have them anywhere from 12-15%. That's okay if they have in mind, it's going to be for one day, and after that they're going to get back to where, healthy levels.
You're doing
a
great job answering the question, but I think I'm going to jump in because we've only got 10 minutes left.
Okay, yeah.
Which is unfortunate, and we still have a couple more things to get to. So, Sarah, I think it was Sarah, sorry if I've got that name wrong, but that's a great question, and we can continue to have that conversation, but I think the main points that he's covered is, yes, you want to be lean for on stage. No, it's not realistic to try and maintain that for very long after that one particular day. So keep that in mind and do everything with a healthy focus. And I'm going to shuffle on. Sorry, guys. But we still have to hear about just real quickly, the shows you have left, when they're going to be, and we want to hear about who shined over this past weekend and athletes to watch in 2017 from your perspective, and go.
Okay. The shows that we have coming up, we got the Western Kentucky Natural, and that one is held in the western part of Kentucky. I typically have – I live in Lexington. And so this show was actually in Owensboro. It's actually a three-hour drive from my house. But I wanted to get a natural show in that part of the state. And the show date is
August
the 19th. In
Kentucky, that's big. I said in Kentucky, that's big.
Yeah. August 19th is the show date for that, for the Western Kentucky Natural. And we have the fall show, which is October the 7th, and that will be in Lexington, Kentucky again. Great shows. We're going to have a great time. You know, we always make sure we put the competitor first in everything that we do. And, you know, we go into each show with the intention of making this the best experience for every competitor. And we want them to really enjoy it and know that we're really doing everything we can for them. As far as competitors that have signed at my show this past weekend, well, we got I'll first go over some of the overall amateur winners here. We had a young guy. I think he's 20 years old. First time competing, and he ended up winning the overall bodybuilding championship. His name is Robbie Ventura. A great guy. Can't say enough good things about him. He looked amazing. Just really good symmetry, good lean look, good muscle. So he ended up coming in there, shocking everybody, and really and did a great job. Robbie Ventura, bodybuilding champion. We had a girl named Shauna Boyles, and again, this was her first competition. She come in and she won the overall bikini competition. She won the open and the overall, and she won master's bikini, and she won the novice bikini. So she had a great night. Had a girl named Deb Withers. She was our figure champion, and she also crossed over into women's physique. Our women's physique was down this time. I think we had two competitors in women's physique. As a class, we continuously try to establish more to get more competitors in there. But she ended up winning the overall figure and women's physique, and she got her pro card in the women's figure. Had a guy come in named Ross Brown in a really stacked classic physique class. Every one of the guys that were in that were amazing. It's one of those where, you know, if you took the guy who come in fifth and announced him the winner, there would have been no argument. You know, it was tough any way you looked at it. Ross ended up winning classic physique, getting his classic physique pro card. In men's physique, we had a guy named Jordan Elry who ended up winning, again, it's his first show, won the overall physique, and he also won the junior physique as well. So these guys are great. Our pro category, we had a guy that it's his first pro show. Ryan Mester is from the Lexington area. He ended up placing second in that show. And I'm going to go over all of the the guy who ended up winning that class was named Trevor Sajak. And
Trevor
was, Sajak.
Sajak.
Yeah, Sajak. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's from Ohio. I know him.
Trevor's an amazing,
phenomenal
physique.
Yeah.
He's done our show before, and every time he comes down, I mean, you know, he's one of those guys, like, man, it's going to be tough for anybody to beat. He's always got his A game. So he ended up winning our pro class. He also won our pro master's class as well. I mean, of course, you know, every time
he's
comes in,
he's a beast in the gym, too.
Yeah. Ryan is one of these guys. He's a young guy, and that's the cool thing about Ryan. I think Ryan's like 24 years old. Got his pro card at my show last August, and this is his first. This is his pro debut. Ended up placing second behind Trevor. Ryan's somebody to watch out for in the future. This guy's got a bright future ahead of him in natural bodybuilding. Phenomenal body. He's a former powerlifting champion, which had oftentimes I think a powerlifter, I think that's a good foundation for bodybuilders. And he's come in, looked amazing. He's going to do great. Got great years ahead of him too. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in the future as he continues to progress. There's a guy named Daryl Lee who placed third in the pro men's category. Daryl's always looking good. He's done our show before as well. He comes to us from Tennessee, I think around the Nashville area. So, yeah, he looked really good. We had we had a girl named Corey Kyle. If I'm not mistaken, I think she's from up in the Chicago area as well.
Mm-hmm.
She come in and won the pro figure, and that was her pro debut. So she won the pro figure class. Stacy Reed from Columbus, Ohio, she come in second, and we had a local girl, I'm sorry, Wendy, who's from Cincinnati, Ohio, she come in third in the pro figure. Pro bikini, Jessica Orban won that class, and then Kelsey Pika had, she come in second. We also had in the pro men's bodybuilding, Sean Newsom come in second behind Trevor. Sean's been around for a long time and always brings an amazing physique. So, so many good moments in the show. You know, it's I'm sure I'm overlooking a lot of them, but there's great competitors in, you know, I can't say enough good about them. I mean, it was just an amazing show. Everybody brought their A game, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Sorry, I was almost thinking Kaylin was going to jump in there. I guess not.
Oh, no.
So, Kaylin, any last thoughts for us as we are winding down here in our time with Josh tonight?
What Josh is talking about, and what I'm really very excited for is the fact that, you know, like he said, those shows that people thought they could just walk into and you know, hands down win with a subpar physique, those days are done. And it's time to bring your best every time you step on stage, or you're just simply not going to win. And complaining on social media doesn't change any of that. And I'll say that for anybody that's going to be competing this year, if you want to be a social media complainer, don't step on stage, because that's not how you win. You don't force the coaches, you don't force the promoters, you don't force the organizations to bend to your will simply because you didn't do enough to be on stage to win first place. And I'll pass it over to Des, and she can take us home.
And I would just say, too, that, you know, in listening to the winners that you had, even though I haven't seen them, I look forward to the pictures, but, you know, it just goes to reinforce, excuse me, the message that, you know, natural bodybuilders can continue on in this sport for a long time. And when you hear that you have your overall winners also winning in Masters and your pro winners are also winning in Masters, they're just living testament to the longevity of the sport when you do it well and you treat your body right. You know, and obviously there are exceptions to the rule on everything, but, you know, just a great point that as long as you want to do it, you can, and you're never too old to try something new and jump in. So thanks a lot, Josh, for joining us tonight. And we are definitely going to be watching these other shows that you have coming up. Real quick, please share with us your website one last time.
It's KentuckyNaturalBodybuilding.com. It's all spelled out, KentuckyNaturalBodybuilding.com.
All right, folks, so go and check it out. So please give your lovely wife, Melissa, all of our best.
Yes.
And just let her know that we are, because we know she is your right-hand gal and is with you in every step of the way on these endeavors. So we really appreciate all that the two of you do together. And beyond, on behalf of Josh, myself, Kaylin, snickerdoodle shout-out.
Snickerdoodle is snickerfoodle.
Okay. And on behalf of the boys at the P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.